Hey guys, I'm Sandy.
And I'm Christy.
And we're a little bit dead. So the last couple weeks we've been doing this like really formal intro. And I don't like it.
Well, I mean, it kind of explains what we're doing. That guys, we're just people that really didn't know each other that well and just decided we're going to do a podcast and get to know each other.
Yeah. So we're just having fun.
So y'all are here with us on our journey.
Yeah. Yeah. It felt stuffy.
Yeah.
So. Oh, anyway. So
Sandy, your cat is such an attention. He's an attention whore.
He is an attention whore. He's so much. He's a lot. And he's high. He loves his nip nips.
Can see that.
Call it like his crack.
Yep.
Yeah, so he just likes to get high and get petted until he doesn't like it and then he bites.
We're not gonna bite tonight. I'll bite back.
He's a lot. Anyway, so we've been busy here lately, just had a lot going on between I've been busy with funerals and my daughter's baby shower and you've had stuff going on, so we really haven't had much time to connect.
Right, yeah.
It's just been kind of, ooh. But,
you know, I've often wondered how I got everything done when I was raising kids.
Oh my God, right.
Because I swear I did way more back then than I do now, and I never have time for anything anymore.
Mm-hmm.
How is that possible?
I don't know, but I feel the same way. So, this will be 3 weeks. We've kind of been doing this, little series on parenting and raising kids and all that stuff. And so last week Christy kind of told her story, so I thought this week I would kind of tell my story.
I think that's a great idea.
So I've talked before about how young I was when like puberty, and I got molested when I was 11, which is not what happened. You know, what happened to you is far more traumatizing, but
well, no, not necessarily. I mean, I think everybody has their own trauma, and that's yours to deal with. And
yeah, so but it affected me in a
right.
It just did. And so when I got into high school and started dating and that kind of stuff, you know, I was not a popular kid. I was weird, you know. And I was an only child. And so my parents always spoke to me like I was an adult. And so I feel like I matured in a lot of ways a lot quicker than my peers. And so I spent all my time around adults. I didn't have a lot of friends in school. And so I don't want to say isolated, because I did stuff. I participated. I was in the band. I did all these things. But I didn't really, like, date anybody that I went to school with.
Yeah, I get ever. That.
And so when I was about 16, I was having these horrible problems with my period and all this stuff. And I went to the OBGYN and got a diagnosis of endometriosis. And at 16 years old, he told me, my doctor, he said, you're probably not ever going to be able to have children. Don't tell a 16-year-old that. I think I've said that before on this podcast.
Yeah.
Don't tell a 16-year-old kid that. It caused me to be so reckless with my whole life. And so when I was 16, I was dating 20-year-olds because I didn't have anything in common with 16-year-old boys. Nothing. Had nothing in common. And so 20-year-olds that are dating 16-year-olds are not the best kind of people, you know?
Yeah. It was kind of like that's kind of sketch on their end.
So,
oh my God.
So that was the learning experience. But anyway, so I went on and dated. I always dated older men when I was 18. And this guy, he was 30 and I was 18. But he was in my age range because I didn't like teenage boys.
Right.
And anyway, so I met him. We dated for a long time, and that ended up not... I was still 18, and so he was professionally doing stuff that I couldn't go to and be a part of and all that kind of stuff. So that kind of broke up. But and so after that, I met my husband. I was 19. I met my husband the week after I turned 19. We had briefly met through some mutual acquaintances several months before. And he had just gotten out of prison.
Dun, dun, dun.
Dun, dun, dun. Nothing violent. It was a drug charge. It happened in the 90s. So currently we're in late 1999. I just graduated high school. I moved out on my own, my very first apartment. We ran into each other, started talking, hit it off immediately, and started dating. And at that time, he was 51. And I know...
He was also friends with my dad.
Yeah. Oh, God. Everybody knows my husband. Everybody loves my husband. He's
a
good man.
He really is a good guy.
And so, my family did not react well, but I wasn't running up and down the roads. I wasn't out partying and doing stupid shit. I was with him. And I worked at Blockbuster. Who remembers Blockbuster?
Oh, I miss Blockbuster.
So, he would swing by Blockbuster, and he would, get a couple movies. And we would just hang out in my apartment all weekend and watch movies. And so we didn't really go out and do a lot of stuff. And then, so after that, I moved to Longview. And I drug him to the David Allen Coe concert that time. Yeah. That I've talked about before.
Yeah.
And so we were together almost a year. And I found out I was pregnant on my 20th birthday. Which, you were much younger when you found out you were pregnant, but I felt like at 20, I was still a kid.
You're still a kid, yeah.
I was a kid. And I felt like I knew when I got pregnant. I was like, damn it. But then I thought, I can't get pregnant. This is dumb. You're not pregnant. And so I kind of pretended like I wasn't. I don't know. But anyway, so... on my 20th birthday, it was a Sunday because he had recently introduced me to his mother, who did not like me at all. Not even a little bit. She was very old school Church of Christ, very religious, did not like me. And so we were going to go to church with her, and I was supposed to meet him at Arnold's. And so I had on this really long dress, which was not in my character.
But that's not in your wheelhouse of fashion.
It is not. It was a very long dress and long sleeves because we were going to church with his mother. And so I walked in there and I was like, it's a little local restaurant. And I walked in there and I was like, hey, can I talk to you outside for just a minute? I just need to talk to you for a minute. And so he walked out there and I was like, so I'm pregnant. And I didn't know whether he was going to laugh or cry. Because we were the perfect couple. I mean, he didn't want any more kids. He had an older son. And I couldn't have kids. So it was perfect. We just did whatever we wanted. And life was simple. And so we ended up not going to church with his mother that day. Because neither one of us were in the headspace for that.
Yeah. I imagine.
Yeah. And so, I mean, it was like, when I took the pregnancy test, it immediately turned 2 lines. Like, immediately. Like, you know, sometimes you have to sit and wait for it to, develop. No, it was immediately 2 dark pink lines. And I was like, shit.
That's because there was 2 babies in there.
Yes. Spoiler alert, there was 2 babies. And so, I knew pretty early on that it was twins. Just because of how big I got so quick. I mean, I was showing it 8 weeks.
And
I was young, had a nice tight body. And so my belly was puking out at 8 weeks. And my grandmother was like, and my grandmother's a twin. She said, oh, that's twins. That is 100% twins. And she called it. It was twins. Okay. So when I went to the doctor, you know, the first time they listened to the heartbeat, there was obviously two heartbeats. And so my doctor was, this is the same doctor, by the way, that told me I'd never be able to have kids. And so he's like, oh, I'm going to need you to come back for an ultrasound like tomorrow. We can't do it today, but I need you to come back tomorrow. I said, okay, knew it was twins. So we go down there. And this is a funny story because back then you could have like as many people as you wanted in your doctor's appointment with you. And so I took my mom and my grandmother and my husband. Boyfriend, we weren't married at the time. We were not even engaged, but my grandmother did not like it that I didn't have a ring on my finger and I was pregnant. And so she took her wedding set and had it sized for me and gave me the engagement ring to wear. So I would have a ring on my finger.
Yeah.
My husband actually
she
never...
She was looking out for you.
Yeah, my grandmother proposed to me. My husband never did.
He, like, for real, he never...
No.
Mm-mm. You know, my husband never proposed to me either.
Yeah, no, he...
My husband told me, I'm going to marry you one day. He said it to me, but he never asked me.
I told my husband, we're getting married on this day because my dad can be here for that day. And I just planned a wedding and told him, you will be here.
We have so much in common.
Yeah. And so, anyway, the ultrasound story is funny because he had gone outside to smoke because they were running behind. And my mom, I think, had gone out to get him when they pulled me back. And so they were, you know, putting the gel on my belly and, like, looking around. And the girls in her eyes were getting kind of big. And I was looking at the screen and I was like, And I think I'm pretty sure it was my grandmother in there. And she was, like, started giggling. Anyway, about the time he goes to walk through the door, the nurse is saying, sweetie, is this your first ultrasound? Oh, it is? Well, you've got two babies in there. And the color drained from his face so fast. They had to bring in a chair. He almost passed out. He was like, what in the hell have I done? And Granny was jumping up and down and my mom was crying. And, you know, anyway. But, yeah, so twin girls, scheduled C-section. Really not a lot of complications. You know, easy pregnancy. I had morning sickness, stuff like that. And then at the end, I got so big that I could not walk without falling down. And so I had to go on bed rest. But yeah, and then I carried him forever. And then I think they were 37 weeks, which is good for twins.
I was about to ask you that.
Yeah. 37 weeks, and they were 5 pounds, 2 ounces, and 4 pounds, 8 ounces. So they were big for twins, I think. But, yeah. Easy delivery, came home.
That's a lot of baby to carry around.
It was a lot of baby to carry around. And, like, when they moved, if one of them, like, did their hand across my belly, you could see their fingers. Like, my skin was so tight. It was awful. And I think I did have some, like, undiagnosed preeclampsia or something because my legs swelled real bad and they itched and, ugh, it was awful. But towards the end, that was, like, the last few weeks, it was like that. But anyway, scheduled C-section, came home from the hospital and went right into parenting two babies. And I had no experience with kids. I'd never really been around kids. I just had no experience. And so I just had to figure it out.
Yeah.
And my husband, you know, because of the age difference in us, he is of a different generation. And so it was, I was to do the parenting, I was to do the cooking, cleaning, and like all that stuff. And so it led to a lot of depression early on, just because I felt like I was failing at everything. I didn't have enough milk. So I had to bottle feed, and it, parenting is not for the weak, you know? But yeah, I had a lot of depression, I think, when the kids were little, just from feeling inadequate and feeling like I wasn't doing good enough. And
yeah, you know, I think that everybody does experience that to a point. And you know what we were talking about on the episode with the email?
Yeah.
Where they were asking. That's what I was saying. Like, I feel like now it's got to be even worse because you have so many people in your face telling you what you need to do to be a good parent. And, like, that's the mirror that everybody's holding themselves up to is social media.
Yeah.
You can't live up to that. That's not real.
Yeah. Well, you know, thank God back then we did not have that.
No kidding.
Because I think that would have made it 100 times worse. On me especially. But yeah. And we just winged it and did the best we could do. We lived in a little single wide trailer house for a long time. And I feel like that was probably the best days, though. It was miserable living in that trailer house. I had no insulation. It was hot in the summertime, cold in the wintertime. But things were just simpler then, you know. And then we built a house right down the road on his family's land we had bought. And built our house, got our house built. And by this time, the girls are like two. We got potty training going on. Things are getting a little bit easier. They talk. Well, Zoe talked. Zeta did not talk. She talked to Zoe, and then Zoe talked to me. But they have that, like, twin...
Her interpreter.
Yeah. Well, twin telepathy is a thing. And they still have it. And they know when something's up. And it's funny. They would, like, go into separate bathrooms to get dressed. Or one of them would be in the bedroom getting dressed. One of them would be in the bathroom getting dressed. They would come out in the same... or similar outfits all the time. And they, like, didn't have, like, by the time they were older, they didn't have, like, matching outfits because they decided they didn't want to match anymore. But they would have, like, similar colored outfits or whatever.
Right.
It was funny. One time this is when they were older, but it's a funny story because we were getting ready to go to the movies. And so one of them had been somewhere. Zoe... When it gathered up her clothes, went in the bathroom, took a shower. Zeta came in and took her shower in my bathroom and then went in the bedroom, got dressed. And Zeta came out and she had like a neon yellow top and like some corally neon jeans that were like a corally orange color. And when Zoe came out, she had on a coral orange t-shirt and neon yellow jeans.
Oh my gosh.
And it was like, what the heck? Yeah, there's a picture of that somewhere on my Facebook, but yeah, twin telepathy is a thing, and they do have that. And then, Zeta did not speak until she was, like, in the first grade. She would go to Zoe and go, blah, 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 and Zoe would go, Zeta would like some juice.
It's twin language.
Yeah, they had their own language, and I don't know if they still do that or not, but yeah, they did. And so at this point I'm 22 and I start thinking, man, I'd like to have another baby. I could do one more kid. And so I start talking to my husband about it, and he's like, you know, because he was 52 when they were born. And so he's like, I'm 52 years old, I'm gonna be 110 when they graduate high school. Like, I don't...
How long did he think they were going to be in school?
He was like, I'm too old for this. Like, I don't want another kid. Well, come to find out I was already pregnant. So, so along comes Mikey. And And so I took the pregnancy test, and of course it was positive. I was like, God almighty, yay, I got my way, you know. On a, before I got pregnant with him, and I'd got real skinny, which, if you know, you know, as soon as you, like, have a kid, lose the baby weight, and, like, get all looking cute again, you immediately get pregnant. That happened to me twice. But I'd started kind of having stomach problems, and so I was not eating like I should. Which I'll tell you about that in a minute, but, so Mikey was born. He was a great kid. But he was my one that was difficult. He cried all the time. He had a umbilical hernia, and he was just always uncomfortable. He hated riding in the car. He was just so different from the girls. Like, the girls, when they were babies, they entertained themselves. They slept through the night. As long as they were touching, they slept in the same crib until they were over a year old. Just because, if as long as they were touching each other, they were fine. They entertained each other. They were great. I was fine. You know, I had my three kids. I was fine. I was happy with it. And Mikey was like 9 months old, and I was pregnant again. I was pissed.
Oh, my God.
I was fucking furious. I did not want another kid. And I was having all these stomach problems, and I couldn't eat, and I would just lay in bed and be uncomfortable and miserable, and also still had to take care of three kids and be pregnant, and it was awful. I was pissed the whole time I was pregnant. And also, I couldn't find a doctor that would tie my tubes at all. I finally found a guy. And he was great. I loved him. But I called down there and I was like, I think I've talked about this on the podcast.
You did.
About it. We're not going to waste each other's time. I want my tubes tied. This is my fourth kid. I'm done. He said, got it. Cool. Not a problem. And so, yeah. But Scotty's the only one, fun fact, that I went into labor with and thought I was going to die. Because every pregnancy I had after the girls was high risk, because the doctor that delivered them, that I loved so much, committed suicide 3 months after they were born because of the amount of malpractice suits he had against him and his crippling alcoholism.
Oh, no.
And drug addiction. So, every...
So, you think that he missed out on some things that he should have been paying attention to?
Well... my subsequent doctors did not know how wide he had cut my inside incisions.
Oh gosh, so were you on bed rest most of the pregnancy?
I was not. I did not go on bed rest with Mikey. But I was very I was very paranoid when I was pregnant with him. Like, I was just terrified something was going to go wrong, which luckily, the doctor that I used, was very local. He was in Linden, and he kind of had an open door policy of, if you feel like you need something, you come down here and we'll look at it, you know, whatever. And so I would just start panicking. Like, if I didn't feel like he was moving often enough, I would just drop down there. And he would just, like, do an ultrasound and, like, show me, like, here's a heartbeat. He's fine. He's sleeping. It's all good. And I was very panicked a lot of the time when I was pregnant with Mikey, which is probably why Mikey had some of the behavior. Like, I think when you're pregnant and you have anxiety like that, it can cause the baby to pick up on it, you know?
They do. They pick up
and
on
so
mothers.
I'm glad we... are talking this out, because I haven't really thought about a lot of this in a long time. But yeah, so that happened. And then same thing with Scotty. When I went to the different doctor with him, same thing. But I was very sick the whole time I was pregnant with Scotty. I only gained like 15 pounds. I was just sick. My stomach just hurt all the time. I could not keep food down. It was awful. I weighed like 120 pounds, and I came out of the hospital after he was born in my pre-pregnancy clothes. I just did not gain any weight. But Scotty's birth was a little traumatic because I was in labor, and so they had to like perform a C-section while I was in active labor, and like it was just a whole thing, and it was a lot. But yeah, so now that's all my birth stories. And he was fine. He ended up being fine. Didn't have to spend any time in the NICU or anything. So that's all my birth stories. The marriage part of all of that was a little difficult through. I was a stay-at-home mom. My husband worked. He was gone a lot. He had certain expectations of me. I had certain expectations of him. And I just feel like we were never really meeting those expectations for each other. Yeah. And because of the like generation gap and the age gap, he expected me to act like I was 50 and I was 20, you know.
Right.
I was in my early 20s, but like I wasn't going out and partying and doing anything like that because for number one, I did not have any friends. I had no friends. And it wasn't that I didn't want to have friends. It was I didn't have time to have friends. And so when me and JC got together, he doesn't really have a lot of friends. And so it just was like, I felt like I was very isolated. Mm. But it wasn't like him being abusive and isolating me. It was just, he didn't have a lot of friends. And, you know, it just I isolated myself, I think, really.
Right.
But, I mean,
there's a lot of girls, though, that when they're in their, like, their teen years and early adult years, that they don't connect with other females because girls can tend to be mean.
I've never gotten along, really, with girls. You know, when I was young, like, very young, like, elementary school age, girls didn't like, I was too loud, or I was too this, or I was too that, or I was always too much of something for somebody. And, you know, I'm at the age now where if I want to be too loud, I'm going to be too loud. I'm going to stop changing myself to fit what other people want me to be. I'm done with it. I've done it all my life. And I don't like it.
Yeah, because it's not genuine.
No, and that's what this is. That's what this friendship is about, and that's what this podcast is about, is being genuine. And I feel like I haven't been genuine in a very long time with different friendships that I've been in. So that's just a disclaimer of.
No, I'm following. I understand.
I mean, you and I have had conversations about different things that have happened and been through. And I don't think we're going to get into that on here. But yeah. I have spent a lot of my life being who I think somebody else wants me to be. And so I'm done with that. But my husband, he was a very good dad. He was very attentive to the kids. He was a lot of times frustrated with me because I was basically still a kid. You know, right. I was just in my early 20s, and so I didn't get to do things you do when you're in your early 20s. And, you know, I went to church every Sunday. I was trying to be a good Christian. I had people that I knew through church, but I was not. I have a hard time with religion because I've always questioned too much. I mean, I remember being a little kid just questioning things. And my preacher, when I was growing up, was like, didn't know what to do with me, and so I questioned things a lot, and so anyway, I tried to have church friends, and it felt fake also, and so I just was very alone when I was raising my kids, and it was, I mean, it's fine now, but at the time it was very isolating. And so but I got all my kids potty trained. I got them the day that Scotty started preschool. I thought my life was made. I thought I was never going to get all those kids in school. When he was born, I had four kids under four. He was born in February, and the girls didn't turn four until the following May. So I had four kids under four, and I was 23 years old. 20, no, I was 24. 24 years old. Mm. It was a lot. It was a lot. But my husband's a very good dad, and he did change diapers. He did do stuff with the kids. But as far as, and he did start doing all the cooking eventually because he didn't like my cooking. And I would try to meal plan, and I would like go to the grocery store and buy all the food for the week. And he'd said I was spending too much money on groceries. I said, okay. And then, so he's griping about I was spending too much money on groceries. My meal plan, I had it on the refrigerator, what we were going to have every day for the week. And, so he knows ahead of time what we're having that night for dinner. I'd come home, he'd come home from work, and I'd have tacos. And he was like, I don't want tacos tonight. And I was like, what do you mean you don't want tacos? You've known for a week we were having tacos tonight. He said, I don't want tacos. I'm not eating that. I said, you start doing all the cooking then. I said, if you think I'm spending too much money on groceries, you go to the grocery store. So he started doing all the cooking.
So my question is, can he cook?
He can cook.
Good.
I like his cooking for the most part. He's made a few dishes that I've been like, don't ever make that again. I can't.
It's safe to say he did not make liver and onions though.
He did not make liver and onions. And when I was pregnant, he did the cooking when I was pregnant. But his idea at that time of cooking was hamburger helper, cheeseburger macaroni, or some type of meat with teriyaki sauce on it. I can't stand, to this day, if I smell teriyaki sauce, I will gag. I can't stand it. But he tried, but he grew up poor. And so, he had a whole different philosophy on food than I did, but, he's not big on vegetables, which I never understood. Like, we used to fight about it. I was like, can you open a can of corn or something? Like, good God, can we have a vegetable in this house? Yeah, he's a good cook. He doesn't season his food very much, though, so it's very kind of bland, but it's edible. I like my meatloaf. Breadcrumbs, lovely. He found a recipe on the back of a tomato paste can or something that called for oatmeal. Whoever put that on the back of that can should be shot. Because it's snot. It's, you know how oatmeal is kind of slimy and snotty? Yeah, put that in meatloaf.
Oh, gross.
Vomit. And I ate it to be nice because he did cook it and I did not have to, whatever. I hated it. And after the kids finally all moved out, I said, make that one more time and I'm going to throw it at your head. I'm done with the meatloaf. Don't do it. He said, you don't want my meatloaf? I said, I don't make that anymore.
Or he can make the meatloaf. And
I said, if you want to make that
cook yourself something else.
I said, you want to make that meatloaf for yourself, you make it. And I will go to McDonald's or something. I can't with the meatloaf. But, yeah, we've had an interesting life. But, you know, I do want to talk about marriage for a minute because marriage is hard. Marriage is hard. And, you know, sometimes things get said and things happen. And I've been married for 20. This year will be 24 years, which is a long time. Yeah. I've been a Lanier longer than I was a Smith. You know, and that was like wild, but I've been with him over half my life, and so it has not always been easy. There have been lots of fights and arguments and things said and things done and lots of hurt feelings, and we just kind of always, you have to forgive each other, I guess, because we have hurt each other badly.
Yeah.
Marriage is not always fun, but also, you don't have to get married to love somebody. Because he did not want to get married. And I was like, no, we have to be married. But at that time, my family was not really religious, but they were big on tradition. And so I felt like I had to get married. Because that's what you do. You get married. And you don't have to. You don't have to get married.
I agree you don't have to get married. I think that for some people, it's that's their deepest desire, though, you know?
Mm-hmm. I don't regret getting married. I'm glad that we got married. I think, for one thing, it made it harder to walk away. And I think if we hadn't been married, I don't think we would have made it. Because it was hard. But we did a lot of fighting, especially in the early years. It was bad. I don't want my life to be different.
Yeah.
I don't take back anything. Like, I don't take back being married. Like, I would always want to... I would still be married to my husband. We've been through a shit ton together. Failed businesses. Failed business ventures. Lots of things. He hasn't always... we haven't always been on each other's side. Like, when I wanted to open this flower shop, he was not on my side. And he said, I'm not going to help you. Not going to help you do this. If you want to do it, you are on your own. And, I mean, I did open it with a girl that we had been friends for years. We each took $1,500 and put into this flower shop and started a whole business with $3,000. And her situation was different than my situation. And so I was the one that was here running everything. And he kept telling me, you know, you got to get rid of her. Well, come to find out, she was stealing, robbing me blind, taking money out of the flower shop. And so I had to admit that he was right about that. And that was a blow. But he's a very good judge of people. And I listen to him now when he tells me somebody's not a good person. I'll just go, okay, I agree. Because he's been right every time. But now that all the kids are grown and we have to spend time together, just because for years and years and years, it was ball games 3 or 4 nights a week and this and that practice and blah, blah, blah. I was gone all the time. And all the kids played sports and all the kids did this and that, and the other thing. And it's just been, it's been a ride for almost 25 years. But
this is the time in your life where you actually start getting to know each other again.
Yeah.
It's different. It is so different.
It's very different. And, but we're very excited. He is beside himself about being a granddaddy.
I asked him the other day if this was his first grandkid, because, I mean, I didn't know.
Yeah.
And he said, yeah, I thought it was never going to happen.
Yeah, he is so excited. He can't stand it. He just smiles all the time, and he's so excited. It's so cute. It's adorable. He's like, the other night, Zeta had one of those fancy ultrasound appointments. He's like, I don't want to go to that ultrasound appointment. Because he didn't really go to appointments with me. My mom went, or my granny went with me. He didn't go to doctor's appointments. He didn't go to ultrasound appointments. He did not even care about any of that when I was pregnant. He said, I'll look at the pictures when you bring them home. Like, he just didn't.
My husband, Jerry, always said, I don't know what I'm looking at.
Yeah, well, one thing that my husband always say, especially when I was younger and pregnant and all that stuff, he would be like, that's not what men do. Men don't do that. Which I guess in his generation, so men don't do that.
That's a whole other point to this story, though, Sandy. It's not only you navigating life with somebody at such a vast age difference, but it's also him, after coming through all these things, coming from a whole complete different generation,
yes,
having to redo all of these things, but in a new generation.
Yeah.
You know?
Because he did have an older son. He was married before. He had an older son. And so he had been through kind of the pregnancy with that pregnancy. And it was a whole different thing that, you know, back
absolutely
then. And so I was wanting him to come to doctor's appointments with me and be like all this affectionate shit that I felt like people should
do. That's what people do.
And
that
he was like,
didn't do that.
He said, oh, men don't do that. Husbands, boyfriends, men don't do that. That's not what we, I'm not going to do that. And so, which he bitched about going to that ultrasound appointment the other night, but he went and he liked it and he just, his smiling from ear to ear, he couldn't stand it.
I'm going to tell you, like, the coolest thing that I think I've ever seen in the last year with my husband was the day that we got to my daughter's house and my granddaughter ran to him because our other grandson was there and he had come up to me first, so I was hugging him. So Jade bypassed me and went to him. She never goes to him first.
Mm-hmm.
And she wasn't usually into hugging him or anything, but she did. She just threw her arms around him and he was just jelly.
Oh, yeah.
I said, how'd that make you feel, huh? It's a big deal. It is.
Oh, I think my grandbaby's going to be Papa's girl.
Oh, I bet.
He is going to... He's not going to know what to do with himself. But, you know, all that being said, marriage is hard. Age gaps are hard. Raising kids is hard. And... But it's worth it. It's worth fighting for, and it's worth, because there were times that I was just like, you know what, fuck it. I don't want to do this anymore. I did leave him one time. I was so overwhelmed with everything. I just couldn't, and I felt like I couldn't talk to him because I felt like he wasn't hearing me. And I mean, I was gone for a few weeks with the kids, moved in with my mom for a minute, and, but, He wanted me to come home, and he was like, I said, we got to sit down and talk because we have to talk this out. You have to talk to me. I feel like I'm doing everything alone. And then he was like, well, I feel like I'm doing everything alone. And I was like, well, maybe if we helped each other do the things that we're doing alone, we wouldn't be doing everything alone.
Right.
Because it was like he was doing one set of things, and I was doing another set of things, and we were not cooperating in the marriage with each other. And where we're at now is we sit and watch TV in the evenings together. We watch movies. We hang out in our little smoke shack and smoke cigarettes. But in the summertime, he gets in the pool with me and like, we just float around and hold hands and kind of in the stage of our marriage where it's just it's kind of peaceful and I like it.
Yeah.
And we don't like everything in my life that has been drama in the last 5 years is just kind of taking itself out. So I don't have any drama. I don't want to have any drama. But I just, everything is peaceful right now and I like it. I'm gonna keep it that way.
Yeah. You know, all marriages go through ups and downs. And, you know, you hear people talking about marriage is 50-50. And I 100% disagree with that. Sometimes marriage is 65-35.
Yeah.
Sometimes, you know, you just don't have anything else to give. And that's where the partner steps up and gives more.
That's
and sometimes
true.
You're the one that is giving more than they are, but it is always about compromise is a big word in marriage.
Compromise.
But don't compromise yourself.
Yeah. Communication.
Yes.
Communication is a lot. And like, especially when I was younger, my husband would not hear me. He could not hear me. He did not understand where I was coming from because I was at 20 years old, Gen X kid, speaking an entirely different language than a boomer, you know? And so you have to learn to communicate with each other and speak in a way that you can each other understand. Because he was speaking to me like I was a child. But no, he didn't mean to be condescending, but it was. It was the way he was speaking to me, the way he would speak to his son, and I didn't like it. It just, but he didn't know any better, and so.
So this whole thing, though, has been a learning lesson for both of you guys.
Yeah, big learning lesson for both of us, because I had to learn to I had to learn a lot of shit. I had to learn how to be a mom, you know, and then I didn't, my mom worked full time, so I didn't have like my mom right there with me helping me do stuff. My granny helped me a lot when the kids were little, but I had to learn to navigate parenthood a lot on my own. He was a great dad, and he did like change diapers and, you know, loved to do bath time, all that kind of stuff with the kids. I can't think of how to put it, but like, he was like, no, I'm not going to take the kids so you can take a nap. Like, I'm not doing that.
Yeah, okay, we did discuss that in another episode where sometimes moms need a time out, they need a break,
and he
just, that is healthy.
Yeah, he didn't understand why I needed a break, and I had a hard time communicating to him of why I needed a break, and so...
Okay, fun fact, 3 years ago, y'all, I have a compromised immune system because of stinking allergies. And I got really, really sick 1 year. And I think I was down for about 2 weeks. I had pneumonia. And the funny thing is, this was the first time that I was sick like that when it was just my husband and I in the house. Mm-hmm. And being that I was laying down all the time because I didn't have any energy to get up, any mess in the house was all on him. And that mess accumulated for a good 2 weeks. And he finally realized, holy crap, she has a job and she still does all this stuff. And you know what? He hired a housekeeper for me after that.
Yeah.
He did. Yeah. He didn't realize. Sometimes I think that it's not intentional. They just don't realize.
Yeah, they don't realize.
And just add on cleaning up after children, constantly having to have your eye on them, all the mom. And
oh, here's the thing that I forgot to go back to that I wanted to go back to. So all the problems with I had when I was pregnant with Scotty, the not being able to eat and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, after Scotty was born, he was maybe 2 months old, and my stomach blew up huge, and I was sick. I couldn't get out of bed. I was in pain. He took me to the doctor, and I immediately got admitted. I had a horrible infection. All of my insides were infected.
Oh, gosh.
So I was in the hospital for a week. And so he had an infant and all the kids by himself while I was in the hospital for almost a week. And so that was kind of a wake up for him as far as what dads do.
Right.
And so, and then years later, I had a hysterectomy, which I think I've talked about. I was having, and my stomach problems never went away even after all of that. I was still having bouts with the stomach stuff where I just couldn't eat or I'd be in pain or whatever. And it was all caused from ovarian cyst.
Oh, gosh.
They were filling up with fluid and rupturing, and it was making me, like, violently sick. And that's probably what caused that infection also. But, yeah, I had to have a hysterectomy at 33. Best thing I ever did.
Yeah.
But, yeah, when I got sick after Scotty was born, it was kind of a... It was an eye-opening experience for him because he had to get all the kids up, get him ready for the day, get him to school, get him, you know, the girls, I think, were going to, like, Head Start. And so he had to get all three of the kids up, all four of the kids up, get them all dressed, get them all breakfast, get the girls to school, come back to the house, deal with the boys. They were 15 months apart in age, and so... Like, he had to entertain them and make sure they didn't destroy the house. And so that was an eye-opening experience for him. And I think he cut me a little more slack after that with some of the stuff. But, yeah, marriages and relationship in general is with a partner like that is, it's a journey.
It is. It's a good one, though. Yeah. I absolutely advocate for marriage. I do. I think that there's, and I know some people, they just don't go that route. And that's fine because this is your journey. You're the one that's on it. That's your journey. But I'm just saying, like, I know because of what I have in my marriage.
Yeah.
I know what I would be missing out on if I did not have that. And it just, I don't know. I'm not saying there's not difficulties because absolutely there are, but... I don't know, there's just something about knowing that somebody else holds the other part of your soul, you know?
Yeah.
Because they do.
Yeah, and I feel like after all of the child-rearing days and after all of the, I don't want to say drama, but drama of just...
It's being, dramatic. Raising kids is dramatic. It is.
Of being, and then, you know, raising kids and doing this and doing that and all of the bullshit that comes with from being married for as long as you and I, you know, we've been married. When you get to the point where the kids are out of the house and you can just kind of take a step back and kind of relax into a new schedule of not having to go all the time. It is kind of rewarding in a way that's different.
Yes.
Than it was when you were raising kids and all that. And it's just kind of nice to, you know, look at each other and be like, my God, we did this. And, you know, all of our kids are like super successful and there are different things that they're doing. And, yeah, it's just, it's different and I like it.
Did you go through the depression? Like with the empty nest?
I did not.
Mm-mm. I thought I was going to. My husband was all excited and ready for the empty nest. And as soon as it started, I was like, no, I was not for it. But it turned out to be amazing.
I was a little bit sad when the girls left to go to college, but that was two kids leaving at one time. And so I was kind of bummed about that. But neither one of them was very far from home, and I saw him when I wanted to see him. I talked to him almost every day. And then when the boys started leaving, I was like, go and get, don't come back. And so I just, you know, that, did you see Mikey's progress on his house? My son's building a house over here by the flower shop, and he's got the walls up. So.
I didn't notice it today. I'll have to see it.
Yeah, it looks good. So how are we going to end this? The end. Bye. relationships are hard. Marriage is hard. Raising kids is hard. It's the best thing you can ever do in your life. And if you can do it, do it.
The best things in life are so dang hard, I swear, but they're so worth it.
Yeah, you know, I have great relationships with all my kids. I have a great relationship with my husband that, you know, years ago, like 20 years ago, looking forward, you know, like, God, I hate him. I didn't think we would ever get to a point where things would just ever be easy. And it did finally get to that place where things are easy. We get along. We love each other. Things are... For a long time, things were hard and difficult and not happy, and things are happy now. So, you know, we finally got to that point, but I do love my husband, and I think he's wonderful.
I think he's wonderful, too.
Yeah. And he likes your husband.
I like that. That's Listen, great.
We've never had a couple friend before.
That's ever. Exciting.
Yeah, so we need to do some more couple friend stuff.
I think that'd be great.
All right, well, I think that's all the reasons that I'm dead inside this week.
That's not the only reason why I'm dead God. Inside, but...
God, it's been a week.
We're going to save that for another episode.
Yeah, so I think that's going to wrap up our parenting series, our unintended parenting series. What?
Dun, dun, dun.
Yeah, it was a lot. So we've got some other stuff planned. We're going to have fun. We're just having fun. We don't know what we're doing next, but it's going to be fun. So you can send us an email for a topic at weareallittlebitdead@gmail.com. WereellBitDead. You can find us on Facebook, and I still haven't got Patreon set up, so I'm working on it. I'm going to do that. It'll probably only take me 5 minutes if I just go in there and do it.
Maybe.
I'll do it.
We'll get around to it.
But then if I do Patreon, then we have to do bonus content.
We can do bonus content.
Okay, we'll figure it out. I'll figure it out.
Y'all, send us an email. Y'all, if the word y'all is not used in regular vocabulary for you, you're the one I'm speaking to right now. Send us an email about what topics you would like for us to discuss or whatever for our special content.
Yeah. Send us some ideas. Because I'm drawing a blank at the moment.
That's why it's great that there's two of us, because I've always got some dumb stuff lined up in my head. So
I love that.
All right, well, we will see you guys
next week.
Yeah.
Alrighty.
Bye.
Bye.